Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. John, roll call, please.
Yes, Trustee Barry.
Here.
Vigarl, absent. DeSmit?
Here.
Sias, here. Olson?
Here.
Boyer?
Here.
Naney?
Here. Pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any town hall?
No, we do not. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wants? Yes.
I'd like to remove the minutes of the February 12th, 24 committee of the whole meeting, the approval of the bill list, and designation of trustees for March monthly check.
That should be buried.
I'll bring a motion to approve the items that weren't removed from the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Trustee Barry?
Yes.
Vigarl? Absent. DeSmit?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Naney?
Yes. Okay, so 1C, minutes from the committee of the whole February 12th meeting.
Yes. Item C, the minutes of the February 12th, 2024 committee of the whole meeting. I'd like to amend the following manner. Under roll call, we need to add absent Dave Barry, Peg Vaccaro, and Monica Boyer. That's on page one. On page four.
Wait, please, back up. Roll call. I see Aiden's name. Stephanie's name. They are the committee members. And then what do you want removed?
I'm sorry?
What names did you want removed?
No, I don't want them removed. I want them listed as absent. Barry, Vaccaro, and Bill Boyer.
Why would we need to make them absent if the roll call specifically states who was at the meeting? I think because it's a committee of the whole meeting.
Yeah, so this is the committee of the whole meeting.
Right. So we just need to listen. For the decennial, I thought that the roll call covered who was physically there. I didn't think we needed to say who wasn't there. Because the actual committee members were Aiden and Stephanie and John and Carolyn. They're the actual members. We were basically, the rest of us were just supposed to be quiet observers.
But on the November 13th meeting, the decennial, we did list the three that were absent.
I believe that the committee composition is the board plus the two public representatives.
My understanding from day one, when they set up the decennial committee, it was John as the leader, Carolyn for the director, and we needed outside residents that were not on the board, which is Stephanie and Aiden.
But then I think that there was confusion because we were worried about violating the Open Meetings Act because so many of the trustees were going to attend anyway, so we had to turn it into a committee of the whole meeting. And then there was...
So that wasn't... I don't see where there was a... Since I decided not to attend, why should I be listed as absent? Since I wasn't a member of the committee.
He's not a member of the committee. That's where I'm very confused with that.
Board members wanted to attend, that's on their dime, and that's fine. But if a board member didn't want to attend, that's their business, too.
Well, it does say committee of the whole, so I would think that it'd be a broad spectrum board.
Well, the committee that was set up, I mean, that's just the title on the thing, committee of the whole. It doesn't have any legal.
So I was the chair of that committee. I tried to conduct the meetings as myself, Carolyn, Stephanie, and Aiden were the members of that committee.
Yes.
Obviously, the whole public, anybody could attend those meetings. We took everybody's feedback as seriously as it warranted. But that was my understanding and
yes.
interpretation of how I tried to conduct the meetings.
So why did we list them on the other meeting when they weren't here? We said absent. What was the reason we did that?
Because I got confused as to, because everybody, because all the board of the quorum wanted to, a majority of the board wanted to come, and if we didn't list as no committee of the whole, then we would be in violation of the Open Meetings Act.
So the committee of the whole continued to be a header throughout to support what you did, basically. So it should, then they should be listed? I'm confused.
Well, have Trustee Olson make your motion as to regard that, then we'll just vote it up or down.
So is that your motion to remove or to add their names as being absent?
I made that motion.
Is there a second?
I'm going to second it.
Roll call. Trustee Barry.
No.
Carl absent. DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, no. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
No.
Danny.
No.
Moving on to the next item, 1D, approval of the bill list.
I'm sorry, I wasn't done with that. Okay, I will withdraw my second part of the amendment to that. However, I want to make the comment that the trustees that were present at these meetings were actively engaged in discussion and recommendations.
And they should not have been. You and Trustee DeSmit made a lot of comments and recommendations to the committee. I think if you recall, I sat mute because I knew that I was merely there as a witness to the meeting. We really had no business jumping in on the comments. The comments were strictly for outside residents to add their improvements to what the library is. We go back to the very words of the decennial committee and what the purpose of this is that some lawmaker in Springfield thought would be a good idea, but it was not up to us to make any comments, quite honestly.
All right. The second item, the bill list. I don't believe that the bill list is complete. I believe there was an additional check that was issued on either the 15th or 16th that is not listed in this list.
We did give it to her, but we dated it tomorrow so that it would not impact the bill list.
Okay. That was the item that I was asking about. Okay. So
is that something
I pass on it.
We need to have it. The designation of the two trustees for the merch.
Right. And I believe that is normally the treasurer and another trustee.
Correct.
The treasurer is not designated.
I used one from the previous year, so you were listed still, and I forgot to update it. So
I want to amend that to reflect Trustee Barry and Trustee Sias. I make a motion to amend the parties who are designated to.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call. Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Carl absent. DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Danny.
Yes.
And I'll bring a motion to approve item C and D as submitted.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Picaro. Absent. DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
No.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes.
No correspondence. Okay. Reports, questions, or any answers from the trustees?
Yes. I have several things that I want to ask. Most of them are questions. This one's directed to Mary as the circulation manager. When we, following a closed day of the library, what is done differently than on days that the library's open? Friday would be an example, and Saturday being the next open day.
So what do we do on the closed day, or what do we do on Saturday, the day we're open, the day after the closed day?
Well, I assume there are certain things that are done every day.
Well, if the library's closed, we don't get a book job. So everything gets checked in on that following day to come open.
Okay, let me be specific.
Okay.
The reason I asked the question is that I put a book on reserve on January 1st, which was a closed day. At the time that I put the reserve on, it was available and on the shelf according to the system. And now, 50 days later, it still hasn't been pulled for me. And I'm wondering if, in fact, there is either a glitch in the system or a problem with process where a pull list is not generated for the closed day on the following days. And the book in question is called Sierra 6. It has never been checked out. It has been available every single day since I put that on reserve. And I'd like to understand, because this is the third time this has occurred over the years. It's the third time that I brought it to the attention of the library. And it seems to me that there's a process problem that would occur that's happening. And, you know, I happen to be a lower level power user of the library, but if it's happening to me, it's got to be happening to other cardholders.
We'll have to look into that, Joel, and get back to you. I don't know. I can't say offhand what would be happening there.
Okay. And the next question I'm going to direct to Manny. Manny, when I read the director's report and subsequently got to your report, I quite frankly expected to see something on cabling in your report. I'm guessing that you're either not aware or are aware that it just wasn't included in your report.
The cabling project has been caught up in administrative procedures.
Manny and I met with the representative. We were both jointly involved in the whole project. He just didn't put it in his report.
Said it's in your report.
It's in my report.
Is the cabling that we're doing because we're going to have the ceilings open and it needs to eventually be replaced anyway?
Correct.
Partially opportunistic, yes.
Is it compatible with is the cabling that will run compatible with what our new phone system, whatever that might be, will require? we have to open the ceilings again to...
No, no, it's actually a simplification of... Cabling will simplify our cabling needs. Right now we have two sets of cabling throughout the library, originating from two points. We have network cabling for IP systems and phone cabling for the current phone system. But everything is going to be run off of the IP cabling.
That was the question I was really asking, because in the 25 plus years that the phone system's been in place, the technology has changed, more electronic. Okay, thank you. In reviewing the technical services report, I saw that we had 317 interlibrary loan items received, and when I look at the library statistics report, I see 274. And I don't know which is correct, but the question that comes up is, who's reviewing these statistics other than myself to ensure that, in fact, we have consistent reporting and consistent data being delivered?
Absolutely. So the reason those two numbers are different is because the numbers on my board report are items received. And if you'll notice on the report that Mary supplies to you, that is items requested. So that includes everything that was requested but had been canceled.
I don't recall that's the labeling that's on that report. Let me look. It says interlibrary loans, period, ILL. And this is items that are circulated. So why would they not be the same?
So when I first looked at these stats, it was always listed one as requested and one as received. If you'd like me to switch over to a single number, I'm happy to do so.
Well, it just seems to me like, you know, data should be matching data. It should be consistent. If it's not, you know, if it were one or two different because of checkouts, timeliness of checkouts of the people's requested information, that would be one item or one matter. But in this case, it's over 40 items difference.
Yes, like I said, I was using two different numbers. One number was the requested items, and one was the items we received.
Sonia, I think you're doing a fine job as far as getting your numbers out there together. Perhaps, you know, you're looking at it the one way, and she's got it the way that they're normally doing. So I think you might be just being a little nitpicky, and maybe we can appreciate the work that the staff does, and we can move on.
Label it differently.
Yeah, I'm happy to switch to a different number if that's what you guys would prefer.
The data doesn't match because they're two different numbers. Yeah, so they shouldn't match.
I think if the board wants that, then we would consider it, but not just one number.
Isn't that also internal? Something that is an internal call, not so much
board call? It's not our process.
Yes.
At the January board meeting, I asked if we couldn't have youth services breakdown programs, attendance numbers, and the adult service as the adult service area does. And what I was surprised and disappointed to see in January was that instead of doing that, adult services is now reporting just totals. In looking at the numbers, the thing that occurred to me was the adult services, Sandra, have 12 active programs you listed. And that two of these had a total attendance of 36, which left 59 people attending 10 programs, or an average of 5.9 per program. But how many people, or how many of those programs actually had zero people attending?
I have all the statistics for every program in the whole library between youth and adult.
Which we track for IFLAR.
To track for IFLAR. This is my IFLAR spreadsheet. We think that that is internal numbers, as Monica said. Those are numbers that we as managers monitor for our department. And if there's low attendance or high attendance, that's something for us to be concerned about. And we think it convolutes the board report, which is supposed to be a summary of services that were offered in our departments.
Well said.
So what was the answer to my question?
And it's an internal program.
No, there are no programs in adult that have zero attendance.
None?
Okay. None.
Okay. But the question that really comes to my mind when I look at this is, if we have an average of 5.9 on 10 programs, that suggests to me that perhaps we're missing the target on programs, and perhaps we should be surveying our public to find out what they really want to see. But I know that we're not surveying because I keep asking that question and I never hear anything positive happening. But the other question that I have for you as you start working on your budgets for 2024-25 is, do we in fact provide enough funds for programs? It seems to me that the program dollars that have been in our budget have been fairly consistent for a number of years at about $16,000 to $17,000. So please keep that in mind as you're preparing your budgets, because it's a question I will ask during the budget process.
Can I ask a question on that with her real quick? Can I ask?
No, if you read the director's report, it says that she will be meeting with the different departments. So that's not our job.
No, I just had a question to spin off of. A few board meetings ago, we were talking about people signing up for programs and not showing. And therefore, and you and I had talked about this on the side, that, you know, there's a limit of, let's say, 25 and only 5 show. Were you starting to now overbook, or, you know, kind of programs to alleviate those people that don't show?
I think that tends to be more of a problem with youth services programs, with wait lists.
The crafts and
like a lot of the crafting programs are the ones that tend to get overarching wait lists. The general programs that we offer, we have pretty large attendance capacities. I mean, this room can seat 105 people, so that's not really an issue with it. I will say too, we're at the end of our quarter, which tends to dwindle down our programming, like the number of programs that we're offering. So if you look at the programs that were listed, it's a lot for adults, that's what we're looking at. It's a lot of those repeated programs, book clubs, knit and stitch club, writers group, things like that, that have the same amount of people who come. We didn't have that many of those like special history programs or craft programs or things offered in January. So that definitely affects the statistics. That's what you're thinking.
Can I say something? Like, you do have to, if I'm having registration for a number, I have to assume everybody's coming. Because if I overbook and everybody shows up, who do I turn away? So overbooking is a chancy thing.
I think it's kind of confusing and convoluted to, like, I don't know, like, if we want to start talking about numbers, which I don't think that's, as board members, our job, we need to use, like, key performance indicators and not just saying, I don't think that we're performing at a certain level. Like, what data, what statistics, what background do you have to say those things?
Years of looking at the data.
Okay, but you're not a librarian.
I understand that. But when I see trends that are like this, it suggests to me that things aren't where we as a community, I represent this community.
So do I, Joe. So do I.
And I, the people.
And the library community, because I'm a librarian for more than 10 years.
Well, I don't care about the librarian community.
You don't care about that? Okay. All right.
Can I have a point of order?
I wish somebody would have a point of order.
Can we move on with our...
Yeah,
our
this was just supposed to be reports, questions, and answers, and we've...
It's questions.
Ad nauseum for 20 minutes. So could we... Do you have more? Because it looks
yes,
like
I
you have
do.
A... Well, I thought you were supposed to submit all this stuff ahead of time, Joe.
It's almost like...
Trustee Olson.
That was something that your director put in her report. For the first time.
No, this is the second
this
time.
No, I've talked about this before. But you know what? As long as you
and
have
more questions, we move along? They aren't reports.
Okay, well, can we move along? Could we please?
I have two more items that I want to ask. I'm concerned about, again, this gets back to budgeting, and I know that you don't feel that's a trustee's problem, but quite frankly, ultimately the trustees have to approve the budget.
But they are the ones that are submitting what they see their needs
Understood.
Are.
Understood.
When they submit the budget, these are questions that should be addressed.
But
I
want them to understand where this trustee is coming from. When
I think they're well aware of where you're coming from.
And if you send an email to these individuals, so to the director, so they have something they can refer to day in and day out, rather than, what did he say at that board meeting? Did he say this or did he say that? Then they're going back and forth on it.
I have two more items. Number one, recently in two separate conversations, people on the library staff, including the director, suggested that they didn't have adequate money for capital equipment. And I have a real problem with that when we budget for $500,000 surplus, and to say to the staff that we don't have money for necessary equipment, I think is a wrong message to be sending.
The $500,000 surplus is going to cover the fire sprinkler replacement project, correct? So that only leaves us with like $125,000.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is in 2024-25 budget, we know that we're probably going to have $250,000 increase in available funds for operating purposes of the library. And I hate to think that the staff has needs that they feel are true, that they're feeling like they can't at least propose to the director for inclusion in the budget.
Any manager knows that they can come to me and ask me for anything and we will discuss it. Our main issue and our main concern that we've all talked about as a management team is getting our staffing levels up to where we need to have them and to make sure that we're adequately paying our staff so that we can attract and maintain employees.
I'll also add from a management level that we meet with our departments and we talk about our department budgets. We speak for all the managers there, so even on a lower staff level, people have input to the budget.
We have a staff initiative out of the $5,000 line item that's coming up that a couple of employees got together, so they have opportunity and they're very well supported.
know, you came to the Friends and suggested that you were going to ask the Friends for a $5,000 adult services.
We are struggling because we're not sure exactly what the Friends are willing to pay, and we threw that out there to see. So we will work with the Friends to make sure that we have clearer direction on what they are willing to pay.
We're trying to think more creatively than just programs to be supported by the Friends. Right. We were trying to think of other things that we could use in the library that the Friends might want to support. So that was something that came up.
And the Friends can always say no.
And I have one last item. At the January board meeting, I identified a missing component of the financial statements that had to do with the management fees for investments. And didn't hear anything. And this morning, I received an email from Carolyn, as all of you did, that indicated that that amount was being buried in contingency.
It's not being buried. We need to make a new line item. It was overlooked.
We have a specific budgeted line item for the investment advisory under our consultants. Like our attorney, it's the last item in that section. The $7,500 that I specifically had included in this year's budget. And I don't understand why it's not being utilized.
I will work with James on getting it transferred to the correct line item.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, it is now 7:30. We've been on this portion for 20 minutes. I'd like to make a motion that each individual trustee shouldn't exceed 10 minutes.
Village gives people three, so.
3 minutes for
this? Yeah.
At least I'd like this on the agenda for next month, so we can talk about it, because we're a board. We don't go into nitty-gritty of operations.
Well, sounds like we are. But in the meantime, yes, there are other people that maybe wanted to say something, and you're right. It's we're going along. Do you have something else that you need to say?
No, I said I was done.
Thank you. I never heard that.
But I do. I want to make a point that many of these items were things that I first learned about when I read this month's board report.
Okay, but we're still going to next month put a 10-minute limit on everybody, so that if Monica had something positive to say, that she would, or if John or Lynn or Dave, you know, and if Peggy were here, if she were here, that it could be said, and so we can continue on with our meeting.
Or maybe the guys of that last filibuster of questions, zero questions asked, zero. Sorry, I make my points too brief.
You're a man of so many words. All right, let's move on with our regular agenda. Action items, the approval of the library report for compliance with the desetting committee.
So we met on February 12th. The final report is in your packet. We're hoping that the board will approve it so that we can get it sent off to the state.
I will make a motion to approve the library district report for compliance with desetting.
I'd like to make a motion to table this.
I second that motion. I'm going to speak on that. I don't know if Mr. Olson, I don't know if you're going to speak on that, but I have a couple questions.
There's a motion to table precedes a motion, a regular motion. So we need to
vote on that. So we need to first vote on the...
Right, discussion on that, and vote on that.
Do the roll call?
You have to do a roll call so we can have the discussion.
We do discussion before the roll call.
Okay. So, who is speaking first?
I just wanted to say that it's the first time I'm participating in Decennial, but I feel like you know, we accomplished a lot. I wanted to know if Director Wessel
put in there somehow some type of, like, where we were and where we are. It's, I feel like reading the summary of everything, it's like everything is kind of put on paper, but it doesn't show a development. And I don't know if that's what's necessary or not. So that was what I was bringing up to the board.
But that wasn't the purpose of this, was just to have outside influence, which was Aiden and Stephanie Hopkins.
Okay.
To say, you know, here's questions. What do you see from the library? How
right.
can we improve it?
Right.
I don't see a reason why we need to table this.
I think you inadvertently, literally defined summary. What you said, so there should be a summary.
Okay. So it's not like we are looking back so many years and seeing the growth in the library.
No, because okay. this is the first year they threw out this.
Right. Okay. So this is, I just wanted to make sure.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
I don't think this report is reflective of the actual facts. I think the report is full of platitudes with no substance, kind of lacking, kind of like putting lipstick on a pig and calling it pretty. The report is due until November, and I think that it needs to be sent back to the committee for adding some substance.
I'll call a question.
All right, yeah, let's have a roll call vote. Yeah.
So we are voting on whether to table it?
We are voting
yes,
on whether to table it.
Trustee Barry?
No.
Vicaro absent. DeSmith?
No.
Zayas, no. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Daney?
No. Now, may I have a motion to approve the compliance with the descending of committee.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call. Trustee Barry?
Yes.
Carl absent. DeSmith?
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. Next is the approval of expectations of the library users policy.
So this was requested by Lynn, Trustee D. Smith, because we used to have the ashtray right out by the bench, and we have one patron that continuously likes to smoke there. So we've moved it 40 feet away from any entrance, so we just updated that number.
Well, I'll bring a motion to approve the expectation of library users policy.
Second.
I mean, is that user going to be adversely affected by this? Would he or she be okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
It's getting nicer.
Good.
I think the reason I brought it up to Director Russell was that the bench is right there, so it's facing south side of the library, and the bench and the cigarette repository is right there, and people are walking up the ramp. And it's kind of a nuisance. So.
It was a good suggestion.
Sure.
About the, yeah.
No, the smoker has their opinion counts too, and I just want to make sure that they're not.
Legally, they have to be 15 feet away from the entrance. We can determine what our need is.
I guess we could hear a motion.
Roll call. Trustee Barry?
Yes.
Vicaro? Absent.
Yes.
Smith? Zayas, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes. The director's evaluation special board meeting for March 4th. Before we get into that, I have not received any results from anyone, so the sooner you could get them to me, the better, so I can put the spreadsheet together so we can have a discussion on March 4th. I would like at least everything back by March 1st. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just would like to set a special board meeting for that night.
We need a motion.
I don't think so.
It's not a policy or anything. It's just trying to make everyone aware that the clock's ticking.
Is there a reason why we would do it? I'm just asking on the board meeting night?
Because it makes for a very, very long evening.
Okay.
And if it's a special board meeting, it's not like an executive session where we can't vote on it, but if it's a special board meeting,
we'll have to go into an executive session.
Mm-hmm. Which we can't just
would be a special board meeting with an executive session.
Okay, so we don't need to vote on that. Approval to close the library on Friday, March 22nd for the staff's DEI training. That's exciting.
I'll make a motion to approve the closing of the library on March 22nd, 2024 for the staff DEI training.
Okay, second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'd like to amend that motion. I'd like to make that conditioned on the library being open on July 6th. I really do not think that we should be taking away from our patrons the availability of the services that they're paying for.
Director Russell, so we are going with the original lady that's presenting.
Correct. Okay. And she also added an additional training assessment for the trustees at no additional cost. And then we were also able to secure her 2-night stay at a hotel near O'Hare at no cost.
And is there, so every employee is attending this?
It's not mandatory. Some people have to work at other full-time jobs, so everybody that is going to, that can, will.
Okay. And there's no way the library could be open at all that day. Okay.
And I know that it's kind of a bad timing thing, but we really wanted to get it done and make sure that our staff is aware. We have never, ever had 2 staff training days in a year before. So this is
just reflecting.
This is a very rare exception. And again, on July 6th, which I believe is what is that the day the parade is on?
No.
Yeah, the parade's July 6th, Saturday.
Right, and so we've talked at great length about how difficult it would be for the library to be open.
There's no way you could have the library open the day of the parade. For those of us that have lived in Bartlett for over 5 years, me, 45 years. There's no way. There's no way.
I'd be concerned of vandalism or something. There's a lot of...
They just want to run in and go to the bathroom.
Right,
they
exactly.
don't come in to read a book.
You don't know.
So, last year when we opened during the storms, we had an issue with a bunch of teenagers smoking pot in the lobby restrooms. I got called out. We had to have Mary's husband help us with the situation. So, it's just not realistic with the streets. And... So the motion is what?
Motion is to approve the...
To approve the close.
But then he amended it.
He made a motion. No one's ever seconded.
No, he wanted to amend it.
His amendment.
I have a question about the DEI. The intention is that this is a one-time training, not an annual.
No, one-time training.
So are we voting first? Do we have a second on the amendment to... Hearing none. Approval to close the library then on March 22nd. You already?
I made a motion.
I thought Boyer seconded it.
Okay. I'll roll call on the actual first motion.
Trustee Barry?
Yes.
Ricardo absent. DeSmit?
Yes.
Sias? Yes. Olson?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Janey?
Yes. All right. Any discussion items? None.
And then there's just a lot of reports for informational. I just want to mention something, Joe or Trustee Olson. We would be more than happy to address any of your concerns, but right now I feel like it's a firing squad and you're just shooting things at us and you're not working with us as a team. So if you have things that you have questions about the statistics, you know that we're willing to work with you. Any of the managers and I would meet with you. Instead of just feeling like we're being put in the hot seat. I don't understand why you can't be more of a team player. That's all I have to say.
But reiterate, we're closing on the 22nd so that staff can have the DEI training. But this woman is also going to give us a half a day because we can't join in with the staff, but she is, allowing us a half day of training. So.
Do you know what time that's going to be up to?
I think it said from 8 to
12.
Yeah.
So that, oh, our training is that, right. But the day of their, the staff training, that's an all-day, 8-hour break.
Okay, so, do we have any other town hall?
Oh, I just want to say thank you all so much for all the work you do. I know sometimes being in your seat is kind of tough, and having trustees ask you questions that are like, whoa, I was not ready to answer that today. So I think a lot of us recognize your work, so thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank you for coming prepared to answer the questions that we do get to. Just thanking you for everything. And Mallory, you and I have talked on different subjects. You're always available, so I appreciate it.
And anytime you sit down?
No.
Okay. And do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Carl, absent. Smith.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Night, everyone. Thank you.